Item number 14, public hearing pertaining to Red Drum and speckled trout concerning the recreational speckled trout hearing, fishery, excuse me.
I have a few handouts. One is based on the public comments that we've received since you had your packet. There's a couple more, sir. And the other is the regulation, which has changed a little bit, which I'll explain. And let's stick to that. So I'm going to really fly through this as much as possible. And just to let you know, this is what's here today. A couple of different things involving both the recreational and the commercial fishery for speckled trout. And here's what we have in your packet for the comment letters from the public. 39 letters, 37 have an opinion. They support mostly the regulations that are proposed or management action. A couple of folks did not support any regulation. There are three clubs involved. You can read those. Peninsula Saltwater Fishermen Association, Chincoteague Island Charter Boat Association, Eastern Shore Virginia Anglers Club. And to go through this quickly, this is where we were last time the commission met on February 25th. There was certainly a lot more events than are shown here. This was provided by VIMS, but it goes back to February, and everything started really in January. This is just to show you a couple of things at once. The circles represent other cold stun events, which is what prompted the actions of everyone, and shows other years it happened as well. The other thing shows you is, with the assessment that was mentioned last month, it's hoped that in order for this combined stocks, one population, Virginia, North Carolina, to be at optimal levels, they're looking for 20% on this spawning potential ratio. And very briefly, that just means 20% of what an unfished population would be in terms of spawning stock biomass. FMAC, this is what prompted the commission action. There were 58 in attendance at that FMAC on February 19th. And these are the FMAC recommendations. Of course, that these will be looked at today because last month you looked at a closure and it was an emergency regulation, so it only lasts 30 days, so that has to be finalized today. But beyond the closure, there were other items that FMAC moved forward, including the five fish limit on a year-round basis with one fish 24 inches or greater. They also promoted last month an 80% trigger on the commercial fishery, meaning when 80% of the quota is taken, some type of action has to occur. So we adopted that last month. And this is directly from the public notice, which is attached to your in your packet that was mailed to you. These four items are what are under consideration today. And you can just read through those. Life history information, again, something for you to look at. The important one is the spawning season, April, August, with peaks in May and June. Maturities relatively quickly in their life, just like gray trout. And you can see the spawning temperatures down here at the bottom. So just to touch on this, if you look at this pink area by one study done well in the past, 1981. A study done more closely to the present was by Tom Idy, and his information is shown right here. And for the females, it's right here. And you can see definitely these peaks in May, really June, mid-June is the pronounced part of it. There's still spawning going on right into July. And in general, what the anglers know is that this is a time that they want to see to help out the stock that they are promoting. Stock status, overfished and overfishing. I did find some other information. It wasn't a situation where our biological data was included in the 2009 stock assessment. It was also a situation where all of our landings information, recreational and commercial, were. There's been information from FMAC and elsewhere about the population considering the two stocks. I'm going to show you the extent of gross index of stock size, and you can see that North Carolina, with these commercial gears, is certainly more prolific on the commercial end than in Virginia, which is mainly Holcein. On the recreational end, you can see the trend continues with the exception of 2011. That was a pretty big year recreationally in Virginia, which we showed you last month. But in general, you know, North Carolina is the larger stock, more predominant stock. There is mixing. We'll talk a little bit some other time about the extent of mixing because it's tag-based, which, you know, there's mixing, but there's also reproduction. Where are the fish when you tag them? Where you when you recover them? When is that? And is it during a spawning time to really figure out the mixing ratios? This is to show you the regulation, and it also establishes beyond the situation of five fish. It goes five fish for March 1 through July 31st, and this is the closure down here. So, you know, that's only 2014. That's all everyone is invested in, is the closure for 2014. This shows you pretty quickly about the recreational fishery, this inset table. Here's what's wave four. All that means is you're looking at July and August here. There's no wave one, January and February. This is July and August. So even if you want to split this in half just for the end of July, what you're seeing in the Virginia fishery is that generally it's no more than about 20% of the annual harvest. But again, the emphasis here is on spawning, you know, not so much the harvest. The main part of the harvest occurs starting in September all the way through December, and quite large in some years. If you can read that fast, that would be good, but I'm just going to tell you that as an example, out of 111 anglers who were canvassed by the National Marine Fisheries Service, the survey that you hear about used to be MRFS, now it's MRIP. 36 actually had speckled trout in their harvest. And when you look at any of these columns here, you can see in general that most of the harvest from these trips, 52%, 53% of the trips are based on one fish. These are the numbers of fish. Currently, we've had a 10-fish limit, except for December 1 through March 31st. That's up for proposed changes today. Commercial hook and line harvest is shown here. You can see speckled trout. This range is really from 1,000 to 2,000 pounds at the most. It's not a big fishery for speckled trout, but it is commercial hook and line. And the reason I'm showing that is because commercial hook and line is tied to the recreational gear in terms of management measures. It's been that way since the commercial hook and line started. That was a decision reached at roundtables involving commission members. So anything that the recreational gear undergo, the commercial hook and line will also have the same. And you can see here that what's shown is it's going from 10 to 5 speckled trout, and that now is referenced as January 1 through December 31st. This shows, it says size limits. It's really a little bit more just on the 24-inch fish. Again, that and the five fish had formerly been December 1 through March 31st. Now both the five fish and the one fish 24 inches and graded are promoted year-round. And here are some comments on that. Of the clubs, all three supported the five fish limit with one 24 inches on a year-round basis. Of the individuals who responded, 31 said they supported that as well. Three did not. And then there are three comments here which are extra, but nonetheless, they took the time to send in their comments. They don't really comply with what's been advertised. So FMAC met again on March the 11th. They reaffirmed their, which is our big word today, they reaffirmed their recommendations from the February 19th meeting, but there was also a motion to have an option for the commission to consider only, which would be just for 2014, the five speckled trout recreational measure would be in place. It would sunset after 2014. It did not replace the original FMAC motion. It was just something that the commission could consider. The commission could consider that anyway because it's a little more less restrictive, but it was offered. Public comments on the trout fishery, speckled trout fishery closure through July 31st. 31 said yes, 2 said no. One of the clubs agreed with that, 2 did not address it. These are the annual landings to just show you in pounds, and you can pretty much see there's some month situation here going on. And, you know, it does vary, but certainly the later months are pretty important. So for the commercial fishery, I think what you were told last month was from September 1, when the fishery opens, it wraps around to August 31st of the next year, but from September 1 through November, 75 to 80% of the harvest is realized. If you look at the gears involved, haul seine has been the number one gear, although gill net, depending on the size available for harvest, the abundance for harvest, has also been substantial. Other gears are minor. If you look at one of the questions today and one of the recommendations is for the 80% trigger, you can see that at three different times, that trigger, 80% of the quota, was reached. There's the second time. It was reached and exceeded quite a bit in 2012-13 season when the 51-104 quota was about 69,000 pounds. It's not a biological quota. It's an agreement quota from recreational and commercial interests back in 1995. If you look at the trip-based percentages, the next few slides, what should be accurately portrayed is that these fish, speckled trout, are not a big component of the commercial fishery because when you look here, haul seine's important as a gear, as is gill net, but in terms of the amount of trips that the haul seine fishery has taken, the highest amount of speckled trout doesn't quite reach 30% of all the trips. So other species are involved more so than speckled trout. It's really a bycatch, and that's what this shows, bycatch from haul seine gear. You can look at the percentages of the purple bars. The highest speckled trout reached was 20.9%, 21%. In general, it's these other species in the trips that make up the predominance of the harvest commercially. So for the commercial fishery, 80% trigger and the 100-pound bycatch limit and weekly buyer reporting, which I'll go over in a second, most supported it. Most of the letters that came in supported it. 100-pound bycatch is something that you have there on blue paper. When we left off in February's meeting, what we advertised was a bycatch limit. We didn't say how much. FMAC on the 12th of March made that situation. They made a motion for 100 pounds. The regulation had already been filed on the 7th of March, so that's why you have something additional today, which is the 100 pounds. So this is talking about the regulation again and the changes. In February, we knew there was going to be a bycatch. Staff put forward the 100 pounds as a placeholder. FMAC agreed with that. They came up with it a little bit independently, actually. But the nuance here is it's up to 100 pounds. So when 80% of the quota is reached, there will be a bycatch, a daily bycatch limit, up to 100 pounds of speckled trout, provided there's 100 pounds of other species. If there's only 50 pounds of other species, the most you can have is a like amount of speckled trout, which would be 50 pounds. Now, you saw that previous graph figure that only three times since 1995 the 80% has been reached. That does not deter anyone from wanting to make sure that we monitor this for the 80% and that there's good reporting. And that's why FMAC came to the conclusion that it should be August 1 through November 30th. That's when there should be weekly reporting by buyers if they bought speckled trout in the previous week. So if you bought speckled trout last week, by this past Monday, you would report it. And the August, including August, is very good because the start is September 1. So this will take care of the busy time, September 1 through the end of November. But at the end of the year, you have to monitor the quota carefully as well if it gets close enough, and that's why the reporting is there for August. So FMAC was really perceptive on that. So staff recommends adoption of the amendments to that chapter 280, and those would be to close the recreational fishery season from March 1 through July 31 only of this year. Staff also recommends an amendment to establish a 5-fish speckled trout per person recreational possession limit year-round with 1 fish over 24 inches allowed within the 5-fish limit. Staff recommends an amendment that establishes a commercial fishery bycatch limit up to 100 pounds so that after 80% of the commercial quota has been reached and announced, it would shift really just to 100 pounds, and that would be the max. Again, if they don't have but 50 pounds, they'd be held to 50 pounds. That also triggers the weekly reporting, and we've written it this way, that if a buyer fails to report any amount of speckled trout purchased in any one week during the months of August through December, it shall be unlawful. So I think that ties everything up. The other comment is the majority of the support did not favor having this measure in terms of the 5-fish limit as just in 2014. Nearly everyone wanted to see this as the perennial measure. If you remember that one slide I showed you, clearly it's not that often that you harvest more than 5 fish, but nonetheless there is some savings there with the 5-fish limit. I think we've had a lot of questions about the commercial fishery, even though we didn't advertise it that way. And I would say that the questions have been, why not close the commercial fishery? And the reason is, I've shown you this is a bycatch fishery. If we were to close the commercial fishery through July 31st, whatever fish they encountered, they would have to waste. Those fish would not count against the 51,104 pound quota. Then when the closure is lifted, let's say August 1, because that's what we're promoting, the commercial fishery starts all over again to get the rest of their bycatch. So I tried to address that with some of my responses to the public comments, and I hope that that can be sort of understood as really a practical way for a situation where you can't get the gear out of the water. And that's the recommendation, Commissioner.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chief. Other questions from the Commission? Mr. Tankard.
No minimum size was entertained for recreation.
14 inches. It was up in the size limits, but it wasn't underlined or anything. It stays the same.
Okay. 14.
Mr. Erskine.
Rob, how much of the commercial quota has been caught to date?
About 44,000 pounds, maybe a little bit more. An interesting statistic is that that Joe Cimino provided me, over a 20-year period, the total amount of harvest from January through July is only 55,000 pounds total. So it's not going to be a lot that the commercial fishery encounters until they get towards the end of the season, but nonetheless, it's better not to have bykill and to start the clock again on the quota.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak on this matter? Please come forward. State your name for the record, please.
I appreciate the opportunity. And my name is Bob Reed. I'm a charter boat captain and a recreational fisherman. And this speckled trout kill and closure has cost me dearly. However, I was all for it because I'd like to save the fish. Today's decision on this should not be about user group appeasement, as I thought the decision a month ago was, but it must be about the fishery, the sustainability of the fragile spotted trout fishery. And I understand bycatch, and I'm all, as a, you know, being part of the commercial fishery in the past, there's nothing you can do about bycatch. We catch it, they buy it. But I don't think there should be limits, or I think there should be closure. It has really alienated the recreational community that this group, this organization, did not shut down the fishery. A lot of people want and express to me at various venues that they want it to be opened up to them, which I think is pure greed. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. But anyway, we have folks from both user groups who are opposed to the shutdown to any management, even in a clear emergency situation. So I remain 100% in favor of the shutdown. I think it was a horrible, horrible, horrible mistake not to shut it down for everybody, in spite of the fact that the commercials did not have their quota. One fish carrying 10,000 eggs does not have to end up in a store, okay? It's the job of the fisheries, of our fisheries managers, to take the necessary and prudent action to do everything in their power to keep these wonderful speckled trout in our Virginia waters. I sincerely believe that, and it hurt me that that didn't happen last month. I plead with you to extend the moratorium as required and to place catch limits recommended by FMAC and the staff, and to help maintain this godsend fishery for everybody, not just one user group, but for everybody. Also, the last thing is we desperately, desperately need stock assessment to assure science-based management for our precious fish in the future. In my understanding, from talking to VIMS, is they have no funding. Somehow, somewhere, I encourage you to help them in this direction, to make stock assessments of what the fishery is and what would be a sustainable fishery. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Captain. Please come forward.
Bruce Brown, recreational fisherman, past member of FinFish Subcommittee, Chesapeake Bay Plans, spokesman for some anglers groups. Okay. Speckled trout. Recreational has been saving speckled trout for a long time, since the first regulation with 1014. We've been saving speckled trout for what, 20 years, 25 years? With the 1014. Okay, go fishing and catch 10 fish, go home. saltwater fishing tournament stuff that I got here for a number of years from y'all. This year here, 2010, 702 citations, 355 released, 51% of the catch released, 24-inch or 5-pound fish. Okay? Also got here is another year, 2009, 849 fish caught, 236 released, 28% of the catch released, 5-pound fish and better. Okay, and I've got it for several other years if you'd like to hear it. It's 476 fish with 26% released, and so on down the line. Also, recreational fishermen are coming a thing of the past, maybe. Saltwater fishing license is down from the 30,000, from the 80,000 of individual license down to 30-some thousand. I have it here in your own statistics here. So there's less people fishing. And with all the limits that we got, 10 speckles or going down to 5, 4 flounder, 3 puppy drum, I can't have a fish fry Saturday or Sunday afternoon when I come back from fishing with family and friends up and down the street. You know, homemade potato salad and all that stuff. A real nice fish fry. You can't do it anymore recreationally. And that's a big tradition of recreational people and stuff in this state and other states. South Carolina went game fish with no commercial quotas. They have no commercial fishing. They still have 10-14. Okay? As the regulation is now, I'll go with the emergency park closed to July 31st. Get to fish a little bit of a break. But after that, let's go back to our 10-14 so we can have our fish fry and have some fun. I don't know how many of y'all recreational fish, but when you get your favorite spot in an hour and a half, you can uncaught your limit. What are you going to do? Just go home the rest of the day? You know, what do? I don't go home the rest of the day. I target another species so I can have a fish fry. Okay. I love eating fish. Okay? I really do. And I can go on a little bit more, but I just want to say that I'm for the emergency regulation, keep our 10-14, and just leave it the way it is until stock assessments are done saying, yeah, you're overfishing, you're underfishing, or whatever the case may be. Okay, and that's I'm speaking as a recreational angler, past member of FinFish, the Chesapeake Bay Plans, and all that stuff. I've heard a lot of people want their 10-14. And that's what I would like, you know, that's what I have to say, and I wish y'all a pleasant day.
Thank you very much. Please come forward.
My name is Stephen Friedman. I'm a recreational angler, and I've been fishing this area for 60-some years. Speckled trout holds a special place in our heart. It's probably one of what we consider the only game fish in this area. There are much fewer anglers at this point, and much fewer that are targeting speckled trout on a recreational level. With less fishermen, why even worry about that quota at this point, especially if it's not during the breeding season of these fish? Now, we've had other cold weather that has killed these fish in the past. In the 70s, I believe the Chesapeake Bay was frozen over. At that time, we most likely lost fish too, but we didn't have the resources at that point to find out why we lost the fish or if there was or how much was lost. True, we may have had some fish lost this year, but a 10 fish limit with a 14-inch minimum far exceeds what most people fish anyway. If for some reason you catch 3 fish, then you catch a 24-incher, and then all of a sudden you get that 17-pound world record. You got a dead fish in your box. Throw that fish back. You just lost a 17-pound fish that may die because there's a 10% mortality rate on fish that are released. How is 10 fish going to affect this fishery? And I've fished many a year and come back with 3 fish. maybe three over 24, but three fish. The breeding time on these fish when they mature is approximately 2 to 3 years is what I'm told. These large fish that we catch that are 24 and above, which is basically what we're looking for citations from not only from the state, but also from the clubs that these people belong to, are far and few between. How are we hurting them by keeping an extra large fish? If we release all those large fish to continue catching the smaller fish, some of them are going to die. So we're just, it really doesn't matter whether we have the 10 fish limit or not. Now, there's a couple other reasons why we should not have this. Many people at this point have heard that the speckled trout fishing in Virginia is one of the best fisheries on the East Coast. True, if we have a moratorium from, let's say, March to August, I think that's a wonderful thing, whether it be for recreational anglers or commercial anglers. But we need to have this 10 fish limit so that the people that come visit here from New Jersey and Baltimore and South Carolina to come up here and fish our tournaments can keep a large fish or two. Because if you're going to catch one fish that's 24 inches and that's all you're catching today, and that's happened to several anglers here, then you're going to end up with a 10% mortality rate anyway, which is it's almost like a crime. I'd hate to see that happen. So I am in favor of a moratorium, but I'm also in favor of a 10-fish limit and no inclusion of any large fish. Additionally, true what Bruce said, we would like to have a fish fry. I don't necessarily catch enough to have a fish fry, but I do want to catch enough to feed my family. And what I'm talking about is my children, my grandchildren, and to have them over and have that fish fry. But with what's going on now, five fish under 24, maybe that one over 25, is not enough to feed my family and their wives and children. I kindly request that you reconsider this and allow the 10 fish limit. Thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward.
My name is Keith Nuttall. I am a retired Virginia Marine Police officer after 33 years of service. I retired in 2008 from this agency. I am not a tree hugger here, and I'm not a person here to call Chicken Little's falling from the sky, but we've had an unprecedented event with the coal kill this winter in Virginia waters. And as the gentleman was saying, about 1977, and I brought it up at the FMAC meeting, the first meeting we had in February, in 1977, there was about an 80% reduction of speckled trout citations caught the following years. The following year, and then it was stayed very low if you look at records from this commission from the Virginia Saltwater Fishing Tournament. There was about an 80% reduction after that year. Now, those fish were fish that migrated to North Carolina. In the past few years, in the past 5 years, the fish have been staying in Virginia waters. We've been catching them up in the Northern Neck and up in the Middle Peninsula for about 3 or 4 years now, and kind of keeping it quiet, but the word has gotten out. And on January the 14th, a friend of mine and I went up there. We caught 54 speckled trout in the headwaters of the eastern branch of the Caratoma. It was a rainy day. We were the only ones there. Most days, this is January 14th this year, and we had 7 fish that were over citation size. Most of the fish were from 18 to 26, 27 inches was the biggest. And after the first coal spell, we had, I was going through surgery, and a friend of mine went up there. He told me, he said, you would not believe the kill that's up here in the eastern branch. He said there are literally thousands on the bottom. And there were, some days there were 20 or 25 boats fishing up there. We also did the same thing in the Pianki tank. We went in the Pianki tank and started catching fish around New Year's. And like I say, I've been fishing speckled trout for 48 years. I caught my first one when I was 11 years old. And I've fished all over Virginia waters, and I think I know something about speckled trout. I've fished from Tangier, Target Chips, all the Eastern Shore creeks on the Eastern Shore, Hungers Creek, Nassawattocks, down here in Lynn Haven, Broody Inlet, Elizabeth River, York River, Mivejack Bay, where I grew up. And this, I know something about speckled trout, I just feel like this agency needs to adopt staff's recommendation and save this fishery. This gentleman here put it very eloquently that it's a fishery that we have a very high passion for. I mean, it's a fishery that I fish for a lot of different species. I fish in other countries for fish, but speckled trout is my passion. And I feel like something needs to be done, and this year is an unprecedented event, and I hope you take that into consideration.
Thank you. Anybody else want to give some input?
My name's Carl Santee. I live in Virginia Beach on the Lynn Haven Inlet, and I, too, have been a speckled trout addict, actually. I fish for them all I can. And during January, I live on the end of a creek on the Lynn Haven. We had an amazing amount of dead fish from the cold spell. And some people have felt it's just a local event, but there were fish killed all in the Lynn Haven, and I have serious, serious concerns. In the 45 years I've lived out there, I've never seen a fish kill like this. So I really want to support the recommendations that y'all have made. I also have concerns about the commercial fishery and think the hall seining should be looked at, particularly in the nursery areas where we know fish are breeding. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please come forward.
I'm Ken Lampert. I'm a recreational fisherman. I've fished for 50-plus years, too. I applaud your efforts and the action that was taken. I think it was a good action at the time. I do think, though, that the cold kills are a thing that happen every year. Some are much worse than others. Statistically, I think when you look at the number of fish that I've seen the pictures of, I don't think they are going to make the major differences that people are saying in recreational groups. I do agree with what y'all said on the commercial fishery. I think throwing the bycatch over doesn't really solve anything. The more our speckled trout populations are in very, very good shape. I've probably caught more specks in the last 4 or 5 years than the 10, 15 years before that. When you have a very large population, more fish will be hurt by cold than a small population. I think that's why you're seeing more. I think this is going to be very similar to the croaker kill we saw several years back that was primarily from the northern end of the bay on up through Delaware. And I spoke with your staff at that time, and if you'll remember originally, the four states that were looking at this all said that was because of cold kill. It was cold kill in August, September, but they said it was cold kill. Hitting cold water current. They later decided, after looking at some more data, and I talked to them some during this time period, that it was either a virus or bacterial infections, and when they looked at it, all the fish that were dying in this croaker population were fish that were males that were 2 to 3 pounds and female croaker that were 4 to 8 pounds. So they were all at the end of their life expectancies, and they were prone to getting things. I think you're going to see some of that with the speckled trout fishery. If you look at our croaker fishery with no regulations put on them, our croaker populations are in pretty good shape. These fish in these populations, speckled trout, puppy drum, croaker, have tremendous reproductive potentials, and they're going to have cycles that go in and out that none of us on regulations are going to have that much control over. I don't have a problem with a 5-fish limit. I don't have a problem with a 5-fish limit all year. I do not think your closure is going to have any significance. I don't think it's going to hurt anything, but I don't think it's going to have any real positive impact either. I think statistically, when you look at the number of fish that are saved recreationally from now through July, it's not going to be that significant. I applaud the fact, I hate to see any of them wasted. I do think there are areas with catch and release people. If you're catching 50 or 60 or 100 speckled trout in a day and releasing them all, statistically, the mortality rate on those fish is the same as keeping the five fish limit. There's no real difference there. So if our sport fishing folks that believe in no kill on speckled trout from now through August really believe that, they need to quit fishing for those fish and releasing them and go fish for something else, because they're having that effect. Last statement, all of our fish that we release eventually have 100% mortality. And it's the same as us people. It's one per person, one per fish. And no matter what you do with them, eventually either the crabs are going to eat them, people are going to eat them, or whatever. So I appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else?
Commissioner, associates, I appreciate the opportunity to express my opinion.
Yep. Please state your name for the record.
Louis Glazer.
Thank you, sir.
I'm here representing the Norfolk Anglers Club, and we oppose this regulation that you're looking at, closing the season. What bothers me most of all, though, is that we have no statistics. I've lived here, I'm 68 years old, and I remember a lot of freezes. I remember people dipping speckled trout, holy God, out of Rudy Inlet many years. I think the reason there was such a kill is we've had so many speckled trout. I fish 5 days a week. I'm retired. I probably fish because I have nothing else to do. And I love it. And the other thing that's so terrible is that I eat fish. My neighbors love fish. I love to have fish fries. What's so scary about it today is that I love speckled trout as much as any of those people out there. The trouble with a speckled trout is you get slime on it and it becomes the Holy Grail. It's a beautiful fish. But if you tell somebody it's in the croaker family, they look at you like you're crazy. But a speckled trout is not a trout. It's a croaker family. It's the same with the redfish. So don't faint back there. Look it up. What's concerning to me is what happens in the southern part of the state isn't the same as on the northern part of the state. Since the fish kill, I've been fishing in the Elizabeth River. In the last five trips, we caught over 50 speckled trout, Ned and I, my fishing partner. In addition to those 50 speckled trout, we've had six citations. We didn't keep any. It's against the rules. We throw them back. I don't personally keep any fish over 24 inches. He'll probably die next year of old age, but I don't want to get a bad reputation. The point I'm saying is, without any statistics, and I know the pictures, and I know the social media. Oh, my God. I'm out there every day. We have a lot of speckled trout in the Elizabeth River. And to my surprise, a lot of rockfish, too. And red drum. Is that the pattern we have now is, if I want to have a fish fry, and I go out on the Chesapeake Bay, 10 years ago, I could keep 7 tautog. Today, it's 3. I target flounders. It used to be 6. Now it's 4. Gray trout, which there's not any, it used to be 7 10 years ago. Now it's one. It's getting to the point that we're becoming a catch and release for the bay and the rivers. And when I was born here, I was raised eating fish. You tell me now, if you're going to go from 10 to 5 in Little Creek, where I live, come October and November, we catch trout that are between 14, and a big one in Little Creek is 18. That I can go out and catch 5 speckled trout, take them home, and have a fish fry. I can eat 4 of them myself. What is the purpose now? To be a catch and release, or have enough fish for a guy to go out there and bring it home and have a fish fry? It's almost like you're sin. But I appreciate you listening to me. But representing the Norfolk Anglers Club, we're against this regulation that you're looking at.
Okay, thank you. Please come forward. I'd like to... If you could you keep the comments to something we haven't heard at this point here? I'd like to move this along. The weather out there is getting bad. Thank you, sir.
I'm Hank Norton from Deltaville, and I'm 86 years old. Caught speckled trout. My father used to call them salmon trout. Caught them on peeler, soft crabs. That's when soft crab, you'd almost rather have a soft crab than a trout. But to see the great loss of the speckled trout this year, this has happened, like you say, several times. Anytime you get quick cold, my understanding is, and it'll all be documented, you lose a speckled trout. They're killed all over the bottom, different sizes. Small ones, talked about Rudy Inlet. I'm not that familiar with down that way, because I consider the 200-mile Chesapeake Bay the place that most of us would fish for speckled trout, most Virginians. Everybody doesn't live in Virginia Beach or Norfolk or whatever. To protect that fishery, I think this is a great thing. First time, really, to come out. North Carolina did it. They killed them all the way down through the Carolinas. This is not a mistake. We're not going to get the speckled trout back this coming year. Some of them used to call it cycles. My grandfather had Norton Seafood at Deltaville. Brought on Jackson Creek, 1933, the hurricane took the steamboats out, and that wiped all that out. But we've had the speckled trout. We got them back this year. It was a great year for a lot of big fish. Most of those fish that were killed were females. They were the female fish. One time somebody said the females seldom get over 20 inches. The males seldom get over 20 inches. So to protect this fishery, it's not where does greed end? The way I look at it, the way I grew up, I think that, 10 speckled trout in excess of 14 inches is excessive. It always has been. You don't have speckled trout all over the place. It's shallow water fish. It's a fish that the sporting goods stores, people come to Deltaville, you look at the marinas, all those are in trouble right now. The marinas are not doing the business they did. We had people coming to fish this last winter. We had so many people, I think they sold more mirror lures in some places they'd ever sold with all those carryover fish. To have them all die, you're not going to have this coming year. You're not going to have a lot of speckled trout this year. I guarantee that. I hope I'm here when they come back. But like I say, I'm 86. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. To have the limit cut to 5 is a great thing. It should be 5. No more than 5. That's a great fish. 5 speckled trout, 10 fillets, is enough for most families. That's enough most families would eat. To give them away to somebody else, it's a precious fish. And so I look at it as something that is really good for Virginia. It's great for the recreational anglers in Virginia. It's great for the people that's selling stuff and living in Deltaville, the restaurants, the stores, the grocery stores, ice, people selling ice, beer or whatever. Everybody profits from recreational anglers. I hope we'll have it back. I think the whole bay, and I'm going to end this, the whole bay is in trouble because I heard a couple of people that are charter boat captains. I had my captain's license. I got it for a few years. I was a football coach, and I got it for about 10 or 12 years, got my master's captain's license, so I was on the bay every day pretty much. But the speckled trout is a shallow water fish, can be caught with casting almost all the time. Rockfish, we got the rockfish. That's another one you can catch, is the rockfish. So, speckled trout, the rockfish, and the bluefish, of course, we're familiar with. And beyond that, that's about what you catch. And with that shallow water fishery, if that's gone, then we're going to lose a whole lot of things.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? And then I really want to shut this down. We've heard an hour and a half of this, an hour and a quarter of this. Let's have a few more people, and then let's move along. Sir, you've been sitting there for a while. Come on forward.
Thank you very much. My name's Lewis Brothers. I'm a recreational fisher. Just want to cut to the chase here. This was an extraordinary event that happened this past winter. The commission took extraordinary action back when we met before we closed the season. I would suggest to you, you've heard from your staff, they told you that this is a peak spawning area now from now until August. I would suggest that in order to preserve this fishery, everybody needs to pitch in. The recreational charter captains have lost money. Now, I would suggest that you also do the same thing with the commercial fishery and close it until August. One other thing, and I just want a point of clarification. I'm assuming the parentheses in the first paragraph that are referring to the regulation, but if you read it literally, I hope we're not closing the speckled trout and red drum season.
No.
Thank you very much.
Just speckled trout. Mr. Lupford, you're next. Then we'll do a couple more. You're standing up.
Commission, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Been here for the last three commission meetings and held back on speaking because the agendas were so heavy. My name is Chris Ludford, and I'm a commercial fisherman, also a charter captain in Virginia. What I'm asking first is to describe. I'm going to try to be brief, but again, I'm waited. The commercial fishery and supply and seafood in Virginia has changed. We've got a buy fresh, buy local, a farm-to-table movement. People want fresh products. We're trying to cater to that. Commercial hook and line especially is a very sustainable gear type. We support all the other fisheries as well. What I'm speaking to you about today in regards to this fishery is a number of things. First off, the FinFish Committee, and I missed the last meeting where they went for the matching weight bycatch. I didn't support that. I don't support that now. Also, we did not support or never said anything about going from 10 fish to 5. The other gear types don't have a limit. I don't know if this is, and it's always been kind of a political thing with hook and line and commercial hook and line. But what I can tell you is if you are truly a conservationist, we are moving into the realm where hook and line fishing produces a product. It's a sustainable fishery. We don't feel, especially when we're governed under a quota, that we should be going from 10 to 5. We understand the concerns of the recreational group. We want to see everyone keep fishing. I have license to gill net. I have license to haul seine. I could go do those things. I want to stay in my fishery. Part of my fishery is a multi-species bag limit. Speckled trout is part of that. If you move forward with some of these changes on the commercial fishery, I ask for a sunset clause. I would have supported a lot of this had been moving through FinFish as it was the meeting before last. Unfortunately, I could not make the last meeting, and some of these things changed. Again, they say we never supported going from 10 to 5. The majority, and I think you're going to see some concerns brought up about the matching weight, having to match the 100 pounds with 100 pounds of fish. I also agree with the need for a stock assessment. I think that's something that would work in future management. I also agree with a couple of the other previous speakers, and that is, you know, people want to have a fish fry. They want to eat fish. I understand recreational anglers and tourists, especially to my hometown, Virginia Beach, come to catch fish. People also come to coastal Virginia. This magazine outlines 6 or 7 chefs, many restaurants. Part of what attracts people to Virginia is seafood, fresh seafood. Are we going to become a state that imports all of its seafood from other states and or other countries? We have a small quota compared to the recreational fishery. I have been and worked with the recreational people as well as many commercial people throughout this process. We never wanted to make this us versus them. Our quota is a small one. We agreed to it in 1995. We also agreed to the 10 fish bag limit as a gentleman's agreement, as was mentioned by staff earlier. We have not agreed to go from 10 to 5 on this situation. We feel like that our particular gear type is being discriminated against, if you will. I appreciate your time. I think that we've reached out with the caller. The industry's reached out. I wish I could have had more of the fish buyers here to talk to you about the products we provide them. But I think if you look around and you understand what's going on in the seafood business, that a lot of these products, and especially even haul seine and trap caught fish, you know, this is what we're building an industry on here in Virginia and trying to keep a seafood industry afloat. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please come forward.
My name is Joseph Cruz. I was born in Virginia in 1950, and I've lived here all my life. The one thing that surprises me about this emergency moratorium is that neither VIMS nor VMRC has a baseline population on this species. You're talking about what's caught, what's the population look like. When the striped bass, before the moratorium took effect, VIMS did creel studies on these. There is no analytical data for this. You might show a couple of pictures, right? But why wasn't creel counts or population counts done and based on the mean population, which neither VIMS nor VMRC has a figure for? Now, I'm not opposed to the moratorium, but if the species is in danger, then shut it down, just like you did with the striped bass. But I think that in order to do that, you need to have statistical and analytical data to do this, which neither you nor VIMS has. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There was somebody right back here. Yeah, please come forward. I've noticed your hand.
My name is Michael Ingalski, and I'm a commercial fisherman since I was 12 years old, 50 years. Fished in 7 different states, 2 different countries, you name it. I've done gear types all over the world. Fished in Carolina, did a tagging program for speckled trout puffy drum from 1978 to 1991. By the information that I see on this thing, you get it close, but you leave these things out. Migratory fish, Virginia, North Carolina, the percentage of speckled trout and puffy drum that go to Carolina from here is not there. Tagging fish for all those years, I can tell you what comes from Carolina that comes up here is non-existent. Or it's not going to make any difference. This is the Virginia fishery. The reason I'm upset a little bit is that I am a commercial fisherman. Used to be proud of it, but you live in this town, it's not such a cool thing to do anymore. But then again, I am part of a public situation where it's a public trust, and I'm entitled by that public trust to catch fish for the general public. The 51,000-pound quota, it's hard to do. And at the last hearing, they dropped it down to 80% of what we catch, and then we have to go to a 100-pound bag limit. And then you have to have X amount of fish to go along with it. Our fishery is pretty specific on what we catch. It's speckled trout. There's nothing left at the end of the season. It's all speckled trout. I lose that 20% on this law that's going to be proposed today, because we won't be able to catch it legally. We won't have 100-pound of fish to go along with that 100-pound speckled trout. And it's by boat. So as a hall stainer, I have four other people that fish with me. 100-pound doesn't pay the fuel bill. So I'm in favor of anything the commission does, one way, shape, or form. Like I say, I've worked with the fisheries for a long, long time. It upsets me to all this is on a speculation, because nobody knows how many fish are there. And I see in my 50 years of chasing speckled trout and puppy drum, there's a lot of fish here. Even if we've had this kill, last year after our closure, I went back down to Lynn Haven, laid that haul net out just like I did as a kid, and we caught as many or more speckled trout in the spring as we did in the fall. But we can't do a landing. It's what we catch. It's not what we don't catch. And I think that we need to address that sometime somewhere else when it's not snowing. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
And Mike, ask the people in the audience to stand up over here with you. I'll tell you what.
I'll do that.
Okay. I forgot to do it, sir. I'm sorry, Commissioner. I apologize. I was going to do that myself.
Okay. That's fine. Everybody here who's in favor of the moratorium with the five fish limit after that, please stand up. Thank you very much. Everybody here who's against the five fish limit, want to go back to the 10 fish limit. Keep the 10 fish limit. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Is there anybody that has something new and pertinent to add to this discussion? Sir, come on forward. And then I'm going to put the matter before the commission. We have other agenda items. It's quarter after six at night, and snowfall is an issue.
My name is Bill Tice, and I've been fishing since I could walk. And I've got this off the internet today. And under speckled trout, from 1/1/14 to 3/19/14, in the speckled trout category, there's 434 speckled trout have been caught, citations. Out of those, 322 have been released, and the figure 112 were kills. So what does that tell you? Has the spot, is the population been hurt? Y'all figure it out.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chief O'Reilly, could you wrap this up for us, please?
Yeah, I just want to comment to a few things. One, remember last month that we talked about the population size and the extent of the kill. A few of the commenters have said that's unknown, almost like an Achilles fin here of knowledge. But really, remember the slide. This is a population. We should better pin down the mixing. That can be done. But it's overfished. Overfishing is occurring. So that's very important. Dr. Luckenbach last month presented the commission with an elegant paper which stated, well, we don't know the population size. We don't know the extent of the kill. We know the actions if they want to have, if there's going to be a moratorium for a few months, that certainly won't contribute to any types of mortality at that point. So, I mean, we know that, but we also know there's a major will, a predominant will that came to the commission and asked for relief.
And I don't think that's a trivial thing. I think there's probably about 110 comments in support of what the commission did in terms of the March 1 through July 31st closure. I wanted to address the comments on commercial hook and line. Certainly there are two things about commercial hook and line, and we can ask later. Staff can go through an FMAC process if the commission wishes us to start a dialogue there on this quota that has existed since 1995 for the commercial fishery. That's something that could be talked at FMAC. It's probably going to be an extensive situation. But that can happen if the commission does wish that. The second part on the 10 to 5 fish for commercial hook and line and decoupling from the recreational gears, I mean, that's something that has also been entrenched ever since commercial hook and line came on the scene. And, you know, there were commission-sponsored roundtables and everything else. So that would be probably more protracted. But, you know, definitely, you know, we can talk about the first item, I think, and bring that out at FMAC and just ask over the fact that, well, when it was done in 1995, there was some thought in the future that that should be looked at again because it's not a biological quota. So that's just a comment on that. I think the only other thing is that there's an insurance policy that's being built in here, and we know how insurance policies are. Sometimes they have good benefits, sometimes they don't, but there shouldn't be any bad benefits with the commission giving relief to the majority of the voices that we've heard from the recreational fishery. The assessment, I learned a little bit more since the last meeting. You saw some of that information today. There's going to be a 2014 assessment this year. Virginia, of course, is going to be invited in, but we want to have more of a buy-in to the process and make sure all the data are there. And perhaps there's some way we can get from the population assessment, we can have some things to look at the stock itself. You know, we attempt to try that. That's sort of new since the last meeting. So, you know, those are positive types of events that staff wanted to bring you to. And thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief. The matter is before the commission. Anybody have a thought?
Yeah.
Mr. Tanker.
You know, when Rob said we have overfishing, and it is overfished. Can you elaborate on that a bit more, Rob, for us?
Well, I think what's happened over time is every stock has a way of describing the health of the fishery. And the overfished, if I can, there's no way I'm going to get right back to that slide.
Sure.
Let me just tell you what I remember. The expectation for good health in terms of the biomass, spawning biomass, is to have 20% of what would be available if you say there's no fishery at all. The best that's been has been about 16% over time. So it is overfished. The biomass is lower than to have a situation where you'd have better health. That is really the key element here when you look at a stock assessment. The overfishing can be troubling or problematic, but generally you can do something to end overfishing a lot more quickly than you can an overfished status. Whether or not that characterization, overfished and overfishing, belongs more to the North Carolina side than the Virginia side is something that needs to be explored. But for right now, it is a population assessment, and so it does characterize Virginia and North Carolina.
Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, Mr. Kugelman.
Rob, I just want to make sure the record's clear on us. That's the scientific basis for the recommendation.
That is the recommendations for overall are based on overfish and overfishing. After that, I think some of the measures that you see up there are situations that do have a you know, a public relief aspect, as I mentioned.
Right.
So, for example, closing the fishery, recreational fishery, may help with the spawning. Whether it's going to help with the overfished status, probably not. Closing the fishery won't necessarily stop the overfishing overall, because after you get out of the closure, the rate of fishing could still be enough that there's overfishing. It's the best available, to use the phrase.
So I'm not sure the record was clear on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Cliff.
Mr. O'Reilly.
Am
I standing up again?
Yeah. For the abundance of fish that we've had this winter,
yes,
and what was killed off, I mean, has the regulations that we've had in place, you know, brought the speckled trout to the levels they are now? I mean, because commercially they're not overfished as far as the quota that the commercial guys get.
Right.
And what's been going on with the speckled trout, there's been more and more and more abundance been going over the years.
Yeah.
So does that tell me the regulations that we have in place now are continuing to work?
Other than the
winter kill?
Certainly over time, when there was an argument whether to have 14 fish or 10 years ago recreationally, you would suspect that there's been some conservation. So I'm just going to talk about the recreational first. On that slide that I showed you, the percentage of trips that have more than even 5 fish or 6 fish is relatively small. So it would be a small amount of conservation. On the commercial side, the quota is not necessarily tied to overfished or overfishing. It's still there, overfished and overfishing. The quota itself has been static for all these years, but that slide I showed you, there's only been one time the quota has been exceeded, and there's only been 3 times that it hit around 41,000 pounds. So it would be difficult to know that specifically unless Virginia could have a stock-specific assessment.
Right.
And that's going to be very difficult because of the migratory nature, because of the fact that you have more than one state involved. So, you know, I don't think it's a situation that can be understood with the science the way it is. The best you can do is get an assessment where there are management measures to end the overfishing so that you can get out of the overfished status. So what North Carolina did, what I remember from 2009, and it took a while to get that assessment done, when they finally got it done, they knew they had to go to a certain removal rate or fishing mortality rate or exploitation rate, whatever you want to call it, on a yearly basis. They decided to go halfway. They decided to do enough with their changes, with their measures, to go halfway, wait and see what happened, and then go from there. So what they're going to do in 2014 in North Carolina is, once they have that assessment, they're going to decide what else they need to do, and they're going to have to go through a process to come up with different measures to achieve the lack of overfishing over some time period. So
I'm just curious whether it's, you know, not overfishing occurred or just so much the hype of the winter kill. You know, that's...
Well, it was overfishing. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's kind of what this is really all about, is what, you know, all just kind of showed up dead on the bottom, and our concerns of what, you know, has died in the past over the years. But, you know, I guess my question is, you know, what came in place has got us to this level where the stocks are where they're at today? Nobody knows whether the stocks have rebounded fully or whether they're down, because it's not an assessment there. But according to what's been dead, there had to have been a lot of speckled trout around.
Right. Well, the assessment goes back quite a few years. So the determination of overfishing and overfished is based on going back in time with the data as well.
Right.
The situation with the winter kill, the cold stun and the winter kill, is that if it hadn't happened, there would still be overfishing, and the population, North Carolina, Virginia, would still be overfished if there had been no kill whatsoever. So now that there has been a winter kill, you have to ask, does that make the stock a little more in jeopardy or not? Tough to say there, and that's why I think VIMS was very careful in the letter they provided the commission last month. But we'd like to see the stock be in better condition,
right,
in Virginia. That's the goal, and that's the goal in North Carolina.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else? Mr. Stetson.
Quick question, Rob. I heard a comment about a sunset, maybe a sunset provision on the five fish limit. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's not what the public at large promoted. It's not what FMAC promoted, but they did have an option that they sent to the commission to allow for that sunset. I would think it's a possibility only because the commission could come back and make it last more than just 2014. But I do have to tell you that in a lot of this situation, we are responding to what FMAC went through and what the public commented on. I mean, that's been very important in this issue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Erskine.
Rob, just a quick question. How did you all or staff arrive at the 100 pounds bycatch limit?
We did. We copycatted. So at the FMAC meeting in February, one of our buyers suggested the 100 pounds. Staff had actually started out thinking 250 pounds. But the following meeting at FMAC, it was everyone was more attuned, had thought about things from February 19th until March 12th, had plenty of time to think about things, and really the 250 was rejected, 250-pound bycatch was rejected as an idea. I mean, it was mentioned and not really latched onto, but the 100 pounds was. And I think, again, in a practical sense, it's the commission's insurance policy. It's the way that staff can monitor the quota better. When you see in 3 of 20 years that we've reached the 80%, that tells you it's not a common situation probabilistically, but at the same time, you know, more than ever, that monitoring of that quota, despite the fact it's not tied to biology, it's tied to an agreement, is more important.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Matters before the commission.
Again, my general thing, I'm gonna support staff recommendation unless I have a reason not to. And I don't have a reason not to.
Mr. Erskine.
Well, and I agree with Ken. I mean, I think, you know, some conservation measurements or measures are needed in this situation, and it seems like that's supported by the comments we've heard today, and there are some discrepancies between maybe some of the fish, number of fish, things like that. I would support staff recommendation as written, as Mr. Neal did. I'd make that in the form of a motion.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Dr. Neal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes?
No.
No.
No by Mr. Close, no by Ms. Haney. Two noes. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your input.